Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is All Things New. And I'm going to read you, I tried to cull out a bunch of these quotes, but I'm going to have to read you a bunch because these couldn't go. Seneca said, every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end. Socrates said, the secret of change is to focus all of your energy not on fighting the old, but on building the new. Billy Cox, life will only change when you become more committed to your dreams than you are to your comfort zone. Martin Luther King Jr., take the first step in faith. You don't have to see the whole staircase, just take the first step. Philip Yancey, faith means trusting in advance what will only make sense in reverse. And Armin Geswin said, when God is about to do something great, he starts with a difficulty. When he is about to do something truly magnificent, he starts with an impossibility. All things new. Well, that sounds exciting. Everything's going to be new. Everything's going to be different then. You say, well, what could be wrong with that? Even when change is beneficial, it often means leaving behind something familiar. Our brains are wired to seek stability, so adjusting to a new situation, even a good one, can feel unsettling. Sometimes positive change means greater expectations. Whether it's a promotion, marriage, a new home, or spiritual growth, blessings often come with added responsibility, which can feel overwhelming at first. Even emotionally processing these things, even good change can involve loss. Moving to a new place might mean leaving behind friends, or getting married might mean giving up certain aspects of independence. The heart needs time to process these shifts. Now, I'm going to read you in chronological, biblical order at least, some examples. Abraham, go to Genesis 12, 1 to 4. I think I read this the other day. Abraham leaving everything behind. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abraham departed. So it's back to this obedience thing. You say, well, what if I'm not sure what God told me to do? When you are sure and you're afraid, and you say, well, what if it doesn't work out? What if you don't do what he told you to do and you don't even get a shot at failure, right? What if you're about to take a step, about to go on a journey in this case, and somehow God gave Abram faith, and it says, so he departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. So 75, and it's like his life is just starting almost. Joseph went from slave to ruler. The whole story of Joseph, Genesis chapter 37 to chapter 50, betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery, imprisoned, became Egypt's second in command. You say, well, wow, all things new, that's great, but look what he had to go through. Are you willing to go through the adversity, the challenge, the change that it takes to get somewhere that maybe God goes, look, this is what I had for you. Moses went from a prince of Egypt to a shepherd to a leader. Exodus chapter 3 through chapter 4 went from Egyptian royalty to exile, then to leading Israel out of slavery. A ton of what happens to you in your lifetime, you say, well, this was a waste. Why did God let this happen or me go through this? God may still be preparing you for what he's really up to. Don't quit. I use this as a silly example, I guess, but you know, how many of you can tell me how long it takes for a popcorn in your microwave? How many minutes and seconds exactly? Who knows exactly? How many? 2.5? 3.5? Cheap microwave. Now, why do people know these things about popcorn and microwaves? Because you put the bag in there and you go boom, 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 and you open the bag and it's full of colonels and sergeants and generals and everything but popcorn. That was a bad joke, but I'll let you think about it. So you next time, you dial it up a little more, and then finally you get it perfect. What if God has dialed up in your life 5 years? Don't mess with the bag. Leave it in there. Just let God do what he's doing. And when he says it's ready and it's done, he'll take it out. And then you go, wow, I guess here we go. Wow, I'm glad I didn't quit. I'm glad I didn't go back. This is what he has for me. But he had to prepare you. The Bible's full of stories of people being prepared. Joseph had to be prepared to be prime minister of Egypt. Moses had to be prepared to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. Interesting, the same place. Leaving behind what was familiar. I will read you this. Exodus 14:11. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, little sarcasm in the Bible, no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Now you think, well, who would say that? You're about to be free on the way to the promised land. What could be bad about that? We like our sin. We like being slaves. Even though they were slaves, Egypt was all they had ever known. Sometimes people fear the unknown more than they hate their suffering. They trusted God for provision. Exodus, let's read this. I will read you this. Exodus 16:2. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses, Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. It's all about the past. It's better back there. We'd have been better off dying back there. When we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out of this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Whatever you do, don't be one of these whine. I did a sermon about this the other day. Female dog. Some people still haven't figured out what that was about, but you say, but it was familiar where I came from. I knew what to expect. Now, this is part of why people don't like change, even with their addictions. Like, I tell plenty of people this. Addicts come in, sit down with them, alcoholics, drug addicts, whatever it is. And I will, this sounds really weird, I know, but I say, look, I don't recommend you getting sober without Jesus, because sober sucks. There's a reason you're drinking. There's a reason you're drugging. You're medicating something. And if you don't have Jesus to offset that, you're going to hate being sober. Amen. You say, yeah, but I won't die. You'll wish you had. So why would people not want to get sober? Because you know what to expect. I feel bad. I drink. Sure, I wake up, hair of the dog, whatever I got to do to keep it moving, but at least I know what to expect. Yeah, soil some couches, throw up in the bed, but I can clean all that up. But if I change, I don't know what that's going to look like. If everything's new, who am I going to be? I got one buddy I've known for a long time, and he was a smoker and a drinker, and he would go to a party, and his whole deal was his hands. He had a drink in one hand. I think there's a song about this. But he could not function without that cigarette and that drink. It was just part of his gesturing. But if you take the cigarette and the drink away, he was like, you know, what do I do? You say, well, that's silly. Just quit drinking and smoking and you'll be fine. Yeah, but we get in these grooves and think it's just who I am. So you say, well, change could be great. I'm just trying to tell you, not everybody is crazy about change because of the fear of the unknown. Go to the next one. Exodus 32, look at this, verse 1. I'll read you this. Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come, make us gods that should go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Now, this is how crazy people are. A true God tells Moses, lead him out. He leads them out. They're following God. He's feeding them. All this stuff's going on. And now he's late. He doesn't come down fast enough. And immediately they've resorted to make us gods that will lead us out of here. The gods you make will lead you nowhere. They can't see. They can't hear. They can't walk. They can do nothing. If you can make your God is nothing. So what happens? Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings, which in your ears, the ears of your wives, your sons and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people broke off the golden earrings, which were in their ears, and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they said, this is our God. Have you lost your mind? This is our God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. How quick we ditch on God and go to making our own gods. Exodus 32:1, talking about that golden calf. We get impatient with God, and then we solve our own problem. I had a conversation recently with two women, Rebecca and I, visiting with these two women, and story after story, and both of them said, one of them said straight up, she met this guy and married him, and she said on the way to their destination, their honeymoon destination, she said to herself, I have made a mistake. You say, well, how do you avoid that kind of stuff? You wait, you be patient, you listen. You say, God, do I have your permission to proceed? And if he says no, you have to get no. Because if he says no and you say yes anyway, you have just invited a world of hurt. There is consequence to disobedience. You say, well, what if I'm not even a Christian? Well, then you're just winging it, period. But you can still make stupid decisions as a non-believer. And part of why God allows that is to get you in a situation where you go, God, I am screwing my whole life up. Help, Jesus, help. Then you go off on guys like Job. You talk about unpleasant, everything new, all things new. He lost everything and then boom, starts all over, 10 new kids. Sure, God restores it, but not so pleasant. Ruth leaves her old life behind, goes with Naomi, and ends up in the lineage of Jesus. The disciples, you know, we read these stories like, well, yeah, sure they did. These were fishermen. These were, some of them, commercial fishermen. Other one had other jobs, but the fishermen, that's what they knew. And Jesus comes along and says, hey, follow me. They drop everything and follow him. You got to have some crazy faith to follow some rabbi and go, okay, that's it. I'm going to abandon my profession, how I make a living for my family, and I'm going to follow this guy. You say, who would do that? That's what you're supposed to do. Well, I'm not going to quit my job. What if he tells you to quit your job? What are you willing or unwilling to do? I sat with a guy who I've known probably about 10 years and have been in this process of working with him on his life. And the other day I asked him this question. I said, name all the people that you would give your life for, or you would die. And he had a list. I mean, I'd have a pretty short list. But it was his mom and dad, brothers and friends. I mean, he had all these people that if I got down, I'm going to shoot this guy or you. Are you willing to die for him? Kill me. Boom. And then I think I asked him something like this. I said, so I guess I'm going to include in here, would you be willing to die for Jesus? Absolutely. And then the last question was this. I said, would you be willing to die for you? And you say, well, what does that even mean? The scripture talks about if you don't lose your life, if you don't die to yourself, you never find out who you really are in the first place. So you die for all these other people, but what if it takes you dying for you to live? Would you give your life for yourself? And then I said to him, die already. You say, well, that's terrible. No, it's not. He's living, but he's not living. Another thing that was interesting about this conversation, he's pretty put together. I said, how cool are you? On a scale of 1 to 10, how cool are you? This was his answer, 7.6. And I said, well, I've known you long enough to know you're lying. It's way higher than that. You're trying to be humble because you think you're way cooler than that. And then I said, now tell me on a scale of 1 to 10 how you feel most of the time. 2. It doesn't matter how cool you are. If your life sucks, cool ain't fixing it. So Jesus comes along and says, look, I'll make all things new. I got verses that say exactly that. I'll get to that and explain this. Go to Lamentations 3 first, and then we'll get to the one I just mentioned. Lamentations 3:22. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. His compassions, they don't fail. It's interesting. There's nothing quite like fresh fruit, fresh pastries, fresh anything. And with Jesus, it's new every morning. It's not frozen food. It's not frozen anything. It's him showing up over and over and over. Go backwards to Isaiah 43. I didn't read you that, but I'm going to read it to you. Isaiah 43:19. And this verse was spoken originally to the Israelites while they were in Babylonian exile. So not Egypt. Now they've been shipped off to Babylon. assuring them that just as God had delivered them from Egypt, he would now bring them back to their land. And he says, Isaiah 43:19, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Like, you have no idea what I'm about to do, what I can do. The tragedy that I experience with people is I'll sit with someone, I can even say something like, "Die already," try to encourage them, and they will die dead. They're dead in their trespasses and sins. They won't change. They won't risk it. And they just exist until they physically die. And then it's a total waste. But then you got other people. If you could just show a caterpillar a butterfly and explain it, you think they'd go for it. You say, "Well, you're a caterpillar." "Yeah, you know, I feel grounded. I'm safe. I crawl around these trees." "Like, what if I told you you could fly?" "Oh, that's, my insurance won't cover that. That's too dangerous." "That wouldn't be possible. You see, I don't have wings." I'm like, "But what if I told you that there could be this like transformation? Like you could spin this thing and break out of it and you'd have wings. You'd be a totally new person. Would you be interested?" "Oh, that's not possible." Stop telling God what's not possible. See, we all believe in butterflies and know where they come from. You go, "Well, yeah, that's possible." That's the craziest thing you've ever seen in your life. A caterpillar whips a cocoon and then all of a sudden climbs out as a butterfly. Ta-da! Well, sure, that makes perfect sense. Doesn't make any sense. How did you get that from that? I'll read it to you right here. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Now, this is a huge verse of scripture. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So this is not taking a 59 Cadillac convertible, two-door convertible Baritz. It is not taking a junkyard Cadillac Baritz and putting it in the shop and redoing it. This is a brand new vehicle. This is something totally new, not redoing something. So God does not redo your life. He gives you a brand new life. Totally new. Old things passed away, all things are new. You say, "Well, that sounds terrifying because I don't know what that looks like." It can't be worse than you now. You say, "Well, but I'm happy." I'm talking about not just being happy. I'm talking about joy. You say, "Well, my life's pretty okay." I'm talking about supernatural peace. I have love, you know, for other people. I'm talking about a love from God, for yourself, for other people. It's next level. It's something completely different. You will have to be born a second time to get in on it. It's a whole new world. You say, "That sounds terrifying." But what if it's not terrifying? What if you could fly? What if you let God do this thing and trust him, and then you find out, "Oh my gosh, what if I had missed this?" Another piece of at least my journey was when Claude finally showed up and started walking with me and discipling me and helping me, there was a period, but kind of a moment almost in time where I got very, very, very angry, 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 angry. And you say, "Well, why did you get angry?" Because I got saved when I was 6. And until my mid-20s, none of it made sense. It got so bad, I wanted to kill myself. And I was a Christian. And the anger came from, why, if this is all so simple and he has helped me with this, why did no one show me this before now? All that pain, all that suffering, all those problems, all that fear, doubt, all of that stuff I went through, why did someone not come along and know what to say and do? And finally, yes, he did. I'm grateful for that. But I had gone through so much unnecessary pain. And how many people I meet, someone gets saved at 50, 60, 70, and then it's almost catastrophic because they look and go, "I've wasted my whole life chasing things that when I caught them, they evaporated. They never satisfied. It never worked. There weren't enough men. There weren't enough women. There wasn't enough drugs. There wasn't enough alcohol. There wasn't enough stuff. There weren't enough trips. There weren't enough promotions. The building was never high enough. The corner view never good enough. It was never enough. And now I meet Jesus and I've only got so much time left. Why didn't someone get to me sooner? Why didn't I listen sooner?" Because all things could have been new a long time ago. Like the Egyptians, though, every once in a while, transformation happens. And this is where the devil gets you nostalgic, which turns into sabotage because he gets you thinking, "Remember the old guy? Remember that old girl? Remember the good times we had?" It's always fascinating that those little conversations the devil tries to stir up with you, he never reminds you of the hook in the worm. He just talks about the worm, dangles the worm. Remember back when you were single, no commitment, no fidelity, you could just sleep with anything that moved, and now you're stuck with this woman, you're stuck with this man, he can't even see his feet anymore over his stomach. Let's go back. Let's take a little field trip. Let's go back. There's nothing back there. And you better be around people who can remind you of that and say, hey, we're not going back. New creation, new life, new everything. And then Revelation 21:5. It's amazing. This is one verse. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. There is coming a day when God will wipe out the universe with fervent heat, gone. You say, well, then what's he going to do? The same thing he did when he built it in the first place. Why do you think the word of God is so powerful? Because God spoke words, let there be light, light. He speaks words and universes come into existence. You say, well, how's he going to rebuild the universe the same way he did the first time? He will speak words again and 2 trillion or more galaxies. And you say, wow, that's amazing. Why do you have to wait for him to do something new then when he can do something new now? When all things can be new now. You can be new. Your marriage can be new. And it's not so complicated. And I don't know why I don't do this more. I think I was in the shower. Rebecca came out in a blouse. She was getting ready. And she said, I looked at it. And I said, well, it's a cute blouse. She said, yeah, it's my color. And I said, yeah, it matches your eyes. You say, why are you telling us shower stories? Because that's not very complicated. That's me complimenting her on the color of her eyes. When do we stop doing this stuff? You look so nice. You're so beautiful. You're so kind. Thank you. Simple stuff. And I think every once in a while, God himself's like, look, back when everything was new, you loved me. You talked to me. You sang to me. Like, what happened? Like, can we just sit for a minute and I'll answer some of your questions, but I'd like to sit with you and I'd like you to like sing a little song to me. I promise you, there's a song my little brother sings. Great is thy faithfulness. O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Now, let me tell you something. You climb in a closet, you sing that to Jesus, your problem's gone. Gone. Because now you're with your Savior. And what can he not do?
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
You say, well, what if he doesn't show up? It's not possible. What if he leaves me? It's not possible. What if I don't sense his presence? It doesn't mean he's not there. He will never leave you or forsake you. I recommend getting you some Jesus, getting a relationship with Jesus, and let him make all things new, even if it's scary. It can't be worse than you without him. And it can't be worse than you ending up in hell for eternity because you told him no. So you say, well, how do I do it? Here's how simple it is. God, I know I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus died on that cross, was buried and raised from the dead, shed his blood to pay for my sin for me. I accept his payment in my behalf. I receive this gift of eternal life. I ask you to come live in me and through me and change me, a new person, a new man, a new woman, a new creation, wings to fly, a life now to live your way. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. You say, well, what will happen? I don't know if you prayed it. It just did. God moved into your physical body and changed your life.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.